Well, we're going to do a series here for the summer called More Than a Meal. And I'm going to be explaining this series, More Than a Meal, sort of as we go through the morning. I'm not going to bother explaining it at the moment. But, you know, I thought this would be an appropriate theme as we, we're gathered around tables having meals this summer. And really what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke, going through stories throughout where Jesus is having meals with people. And in the midst of that, things happen. And we're just going to go sequentially through them all, just one story after another. There's a lot of them in Luke. But I'm actually going to start at the very end. I'm going to start with the last story of a meal in Luke. And you know, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, when I was given a maze, maybe like on a child's activity page at a restaurant or something like that, it would often have a maze, and I would usually start at the end. Because for some reason I found it was easier to wind my way through the maze if I started at the end and worked my way through to the start. Is anybody else do that, or is that really just me? Okay, so there's a few of us that are equally weird. Okay. So what I'm going to do today is start at the end, because it's in a lot of ways going to explain where we're going over the next, 9 weeks as we do this. And I want to begin by asking you a question. Have you ever had the experience of the weight of something that went horribly wrong? Just me? Have you ever had the experience of knowing that something went horribly wrong or just different than you planned, the frustration, your expectations were not met? And maybe, have you ever had that experience where at the time it seemed awful, and you didn't realize all that was happening, but later, when you look back on that, you saw that there was a surprise in the midst of it. There was something good, and maybe even something even better than you could have imagined. Well, that's the kind of story that we have here today, and it begins here in a weighty place. This is the end of the story of Luke, of Jesus' life, and what has just happened in Luke chapter 24 is Jesus has died. But then he is raised. There is confusion. People don't quite understand what is going on. And the very same day, a Sunday, when Jesus was raised, if you remember Easter, he's raised on Sunday, that very same day, two people are walking away from Jerusalem. And they're talking about what has happened and the stories that they've been hearing. And they are confused. They are sad. They are a little bit bewildered. And in the midst of that, confusion and this moment that I'm describing, our story begins. So I want to take you, we're going to walk through it a step at a time. That same day, so the same day that Jesus was raised, so the festival of the Passover has just been happening, and so these two travelers are walking along the road, it says. Two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, they didn't have cars back then. Apparently, they didn't have a horse or a donkey or something like that. They're walking, and so they have about 7 miles to go. How long would it take you to walk 7 miles? Some of you, 3 days. If you walk about, if you walk at a moderate pace, you can probably make this in about an hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours. Okay? And especially if you're used to walking, as these people probably are. So they're going 7 miles away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. I want to pause there. Why in the world would God keep them from recognizing Jesus? Doesn't that seem to go against the way that Jesus seems to operate? Doesn't God want to reveal himself to people? Yes. But here in this story, it's perhaps an unusual thing. I don't know how many of you have ever walked along a road and encountered Jesus on that road. So perhaps this is a unique story. But for all of us, there are times and moments in our lives where God is present, as he is always, and we don't realize it. There are moments in our lives where we are going along, doing our ordinary, everyday thing, and unknown to us, God is there doing something. Why doesn't God reveal himself in that moment? I don't know. I'm not God. But I'll tell you, one of the reasons might be is that he might be preparing you so that when he does reveal himself, you'll understand. You'll have a greater understanding of what is happening and what he's been up to all along. Maybe you'll suddenly realize we've already been in a relationship all this time and I had not realized it. I have seen his goodness to me and I wasn't even paying attention. He has been faithful and kind to me all along the way and I didn't even know it, but now I see it clearly. So why didn't Jesus reveal himself? I don't know. Why doesn't Jesus make himself known to you in some of the moments you wish he would? I don't know. But I am certain that if we keep looking for him, he will reveal himself and his goodness, kindness, faithfulness will be on full display at the right moment. And so the story continues and they're walking along. And this is one of those moments where I know that God has a sense of humor. Listen how this unfolds. Jesus asks them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They're having a pretty serious, intense conversation. They stop short. Whoa. Sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there in the last few days." You ever had a moment like that where you don't realize you're talking about somebody and they're right there? Usually that's a pretty embarrassing moment, okay? Jesus doesn't embarrass them here, although he's going to say some words in a moment. But you know what I think is funny? This is just a little bit of a side. There's two people, and we only know one of their names. Why do you think Cleopas is mentioned? Why do you think his name is given? Probably because for the people that Luke was writing this story, Luke is writing this to people he knows probably, and they probably know Cleopas. And they're probably sitting around listening to the story. Tell that one about Cleopas on the road. tell what happened next. And then Cleopas said, like, you know, "You don't know anything about what happened." And they're all nudging each other. Cleopas, they're winking at him. They're having a good time at Cleopas' expense. Who's the other person? We don't know, but they don't want to make fun of that person for some reason. Maybe it's Cleopas' wife. And, you know, she just doesn't have as good a sense of humor. I don't know. But here's Cleopas, you know, egg on his face, although he doesn't know it. "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." Now this is, you know, that's funny in itself. But then Jesus says this. Listen, here's the next slide. "What things?" Oh, you know, you just see the sense of humor that Jesus has here, that he is just, he's trying to draw this out of them. And you know what? I think in your lives, there's lots of times we try to tell God about himself and how he should be doing his job. There's lots of times we think that we know what's best for us and we want to tell God all about it. And I think sometimes God just listens to us as we pray. And just as a kind father would to a child, just says, "Oh, yeah, tell me about it. What things? What things?" And so then they go on and they explain. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah, who'd come to rescue Israel." This all happened 3 days ago. So you see the weight of this. They had thought, they had such great expectations and hopes for what would happen with Jesus there. They had hoped that he would rescue them from the oppression of the Romans, and that Israel would once again take back its claim as a nation, and that they would just have freedom and joy. And they hoped that Jesus was going to do all of that, and yet he was condemned to death and he was killed. In an embarrassing, humiliating way, like a criminal on a cross. You could see that their sense of hope would be dashed. You could see that they would be disappointed. They would be disoriented by all these events. They had seen so many incredible, powerful things that Jesus had done and said, and yet now, where were they? But then the story goes on, and they say this. "Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. They are absolutely just, they're bewildered. What is happening? What is going on? And the word has been spreading quickly throughout the tens of thousands, if not a million people that are there in Jerusalem for this major festival. And so here they are telling Jesus all about what he's been up to the past few days. Well, you know, these are not just regular people who are talking about this. These are followers of his. People who had listened to him teach. People who should know a little bit better about what Jesus had been doing. And so now Jesus has some words for them. Not because he's unkind, but because they should actually have been following the story a little more closely. And he says this. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people." Now, you might hear that in a harsh way. I think he's just like shaking his head. "You foolish people." You know, I don't think he's angry per se. I think he's just, "My goodness, when are you ever going to learn? I've been telling you all along. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through all the writings of Moses, all the prophets, explaining all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." So instead of just saying, you're just a bunch of dumb people, you don't know what's going on, I'm out of here, he takes the time to explain to them what they've been missing all along. He takes the time to fill in the blanks, to bring out the missing puzzle pieces, and explain what's right in front of them, what they've been missing the whole time. See, what Jesus is doing here is he's helping them build their understanding so that the moment he reveals himself, there will be a greater understanding, not only for them, but for all of the disciples. Jesus is taking a moment. Now you think about this. This is Jesus' big day. Jesus was just raised from the dead. And he takes a couple of hours to walk along the road and explain what he's been up to, to explain his greater plan. And here's what I want you to know. Jesus has always got time for you. There's never a day that is so busy that he doesn't have a moment to spend a couple hours walking along beside you, filling in the gaps, helping you see what he's up to. There's never a day where he doesn't have the time to spend with you. And he goes on, he explains all these things. Now here, let's go on to the next part of the story. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus. So you can imagine this has probably been a couple hours, nearing the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he was going on. So, you know, it's not really clear exactly what happens there, but, you know, he seems to be sort of indicating he's going to keep going. But, you know, it's customary, especially in that culture, to be very hospitable and to invite a guest to join you if you've been spending time with them. So Jesus says, "Well, you know, I'm going on," but they begged him, "Stay the night with us," since it was getting late. You know, in that culture, and I spent some time last year in Lebanon, just the hospitality was incredible. You are supposed to sort of indicate, "Oh, no, that's okay, you know, I'm fine, I'll just keep going." And they are supposed to then say, no, please, come, and they insist once again, and then, you know, if Jesus really doesn't want to, at this point he would say, no, I'm good, thanks very much, and he would go on. But in this case, you know, they've done kind of the customary dance back and forth, and now they take him to their home. "Stay the night with us, since it's getting late." So he went home with them. Now the next. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. Now, I want you to notice something here. Jesus took the bread and blessed it. If you get invited to somebody's home, say your grandmother's home for Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, who is going to pray for the meal? Well, the host is either going to pray or they're going to appoint someone to do the prayer, right? So grandma's going to say, "Grandpa is now going to say the prayer before we eat." Or, you know, "Pastor Gordon, would you pray before the meal," right? But the host is the one who determines how this blessing happens for the meal. What does Jesus do? Jesus takes the bread and he blesses it. What you don't realize many times in your life is that God is hosting you. You might think you're in control of your life. You might think that you have it all figured out. You might think you know how it's supposed to go. But all along through the way, God is the one who's in control. God is the one who's providing for you. God is the host, always. So Jesus does something here in this moment. He takes his rightful place and begins to act for who he is. He takes the bread and he blesses it. He is the one providing for them the nourishment that they need. Then he broke it and he gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment he disappeared. Now, I don't know if that means in the blink of an eye, he's gone, or just in the moment of their confusion, he slips out. But what I know is the point of this story here is that suddenly they recognize him. And in this moment where he is recognized, they realize two things. One, Jesus is alive. That itself is big news. But if Jesus is alive just as he said he was going to be, if he had been raised from the dead just as he had predicted before his death, now you show me someone who can predict their death and their resurrection and then come back and do it, and I'll follow that person. But they see that Jesus is raised, he is alive, and suddenly the whole story is now true. Everything they've been learning from him is true. And it's not simply that their friend, their master, their teacher is alive, which would be a great cause for celebration. What they are suddenly realizing is the whole world is different. Everything changes if Jesus really is God. Everything changes if Jesus really is raised from the dead. Everything changes. That means that you and I have the possibility of what Jesus promised. We have the possibility of real life. We have the possibility of our sins being forgiven. We have the possibility of having a new start. And just as we saw today, being raised to a new life. If Jesus is there in their midst, then by golly, they have the chance for everything being different. The world has changed. Hallelujah. This is an incredible, powerful moment. They're not simply happy that some great news, their friend is alive. They are realizing that the world is now a different place. That God has ushered in a new era in which transformation is being made and that real things are happening to bring about a new order of life and a new kingdom for the whole world to experience. The rule and the reign of God himself. This is a beautiful, powerful thing. And what happens here in this moment is what I want you to begin to see over this summer as we have our meals together for summer church. What I want you to realize is that as we break bread, there is a sacred opportunity to see Jesus in a new way. To recognize what he's doing in a new and unexpected way, and to remember that it changes everything. We're not simply having a meal here together, although that would be a lot of fun. It's more than a meal. This is an opportunity to experience God in our midst in ways that are unexpected. In ways we didn't anticipate. In ways that are better than we could have imagined. This is an opportunity to invite other people into this. To invite them into this celebration. Into this new life that's found in Jesus only. This summer, we are gathering around tables, breaking bread together. And in those moments of breaking bread, we want to see God alive in our midst. Well, I want to see that. Do you? Yeah? Well, you know, this was such a powerful moment that those disciples decided they needed to, they needed to continue this practice. And just about 50 days later, there was another celebration in Jerusalem called Pentecost. And what happens on that day is that the Holy Spirit, Jesus sends his own spirit amongst his people, his followers, his believers, and suddenly the church is born. They begin to experience this whole new way of life together in community. And I want to show you those verses from Acts chapter 2 as the story unfolds. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Now, did you listen to that? These are the things they're devoting themselves. They're devoting themselves to teaching. Well, that makes sense. You know, if you're going to have a new way of life, you're going to learn some things. It makes sense that you might, you know, spend some time together, devote yourself to each other. But they devoted themselves to sharing in meals. Why was that so important? It was because they knew that in those moments when bread is broken, God's presence can be seen in new ways. There's something sacred when we practice community together. We have an opportunity to remember the broken body of Jesus. We have the opportunity to remember that He is the one who provides for us, that God is our host. And we have the opportunity to welcome new people in. And what it says is, in that one day, there was 3,000 people that began this new church. And every single day, new people came into that church. And it grew and grew and grew. I don't know about you, but I'd love to see that happen. I know that the cooks would be a little bit freaked out. But I would love to see every day more and more people added to our number. I would love to have to figure out how to get more tables, how to feed more people. And it's not about the food. It's about the sense that they are beginning to see, we are beginning to see, that God is here amongst us. Would you like to see that? That's what I want to see. And it was a powerful thing for them, and it was a practice that they continued for years and years to come. And it's a practice that we're participating in now today. Gathering around tables is a sacred thing. Because in the midst of it, God is present with us. Now, I want to show you one more verse just to end off that story. Jesus disappeared, and they said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as He talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. Remember, they asked Jesus to stay because it was so late. But you know, as fast as they might have been walking to get to Emmaus, I bet they walked a little bit faster getting back to Jerusalem. They had news to share, and it couldn't wait till morning. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them and said, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." You know, we have a story to share, people. We have something to celebrate, just as we did here with Sharon today. We have a story to share and to celebrate. And we need to get on the road, whether it's day or night, and start spreading the news. Okay, start spreading the news. And we need to recognize these moments where we sense within our hearts a burning. Now, if you're not maybe from a church background or this is a new idea for you, it's just, do you have a sense that something's going on? Do you have a sense that there's something that's drawing you to this, that you're just engaged, you're listening, you want to hear? And I want to say to you, if you, just as I've even been talking tonight, if you've sensed something in you, just, there's something there. There's something to what you're hearing. There's a warming in your heart. And you don't know what to do with that. Well, we here as a church, we would be happy to help you, walking alongside you, just as Jesus did with them, explaining the things of Jesus. And if you'd like to meet with me and talk with me about that, you have questions, even if you think that they're too big for anyone to solve, I might not have the answer. But we're gonna go to Jesus about them. And I'll go there with you. So if you've been sensing a warmness in your heart, if you've been sensing you're being drawn to learn more, to know more, just maybe it's even just keep coming back until you start to find the answers you're looking for. But I'd be happy to walk alongside you. We as a church would be happy to do that. We'd be honored to do that as well. And that'd be a real gift for us to be able to do that. I also want to say, just as you think about your own warm heart, maybe there's something as you saw Sharon be baptized. Maybe you have your own sense, why haven't I done that yet? Maybe you're saying to yourself, you know, why haven't I gone through and made a public declaration that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, that I follow Him, that I'm a new person because of what He's done? And you know what? It's a lot of work to move this baptism tank here. It took us a bunch of people. So, you know, here's what I want to say to you. Before we go taking it back, if you're interested in being baptized, would you speak to me? And would you speak to me about it? And maybe, just maybe, it'll be your turn next. And as Jesus is doing something in our midst, maybe we'll all sense that warmness in our hearts that binds us to each other, that binds us closer to Him, and that draws us further into that journey of realizing that everything has changed because of who Jesus is and what He's done. What a thing it can be to celebrate a world with new eyes. What a wonderful thing it is when we begin to see the world the way that Jesus sees it, where we begin to see him at work all around us. What a wonderful thing it is to see him at work in the lives of people around us. Maybe it's your turn next. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you love us so much that you're never too busy for us. You're ready to walk alongside us, patiently explaining things to us. That you are happy to explain it one more time. That you love us so much that you did go to the cross to deal with our sin, to deal with the brokenness and the pain that we really couldn't overcome on our own. And that as we see your resurrection, we see that it's all come true. We see that you have the power to make this new life possible, not only for us, but to transform the entire world. We want to see that kingdom of God, that we want to see things here on earth the way they were supposed to be, the way you intended at creation. We believe that that's only possible as we trust in you and as we as a church follow you into that. So God, we want to honor you, we want to bless you, and we want to seek you in all things. Open our eyes to see you. Help us to have courage to respond when we feel like you're drawing us closer. And once we recognize you in our midst, to share that news, to spread the story with the people around us so that others might be welcomed to the table. As we break bread this summer, God, would we find you in our midst, and would others come to know you as well. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.